If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. We'll start reading in verse 12. But before we start reading, I'm going to open up in prayer. Dear Lord, you gave me the message, and I just pray, Lord, that you use me. I'm an empty vessel, and I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may deliver this message. And I pray that they can be good ground, that your word may bear fruit. And I ask this in the most precious, holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence. That's obedience right there. They're being obedient even in his absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Live it. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Notice it says that it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do. He gives you the desire to do what's right, if you're saved. He gives you the will to do right. And he also gives you the ability to execute it, to do of his good pleasure. Now, after a person gets saved, he gives us the Holy Spirit. That's how he gives us the ability, the will, and the do of his good pleasure. The first point I want to make is there is joy in obedience because of the work of God in our lives. Hold your place in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be coming back to Philippians chapter 2 a couple times. So if you have a marker or something, hold your place in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Notice that it says that he will abide with you forever. Whenever you believed the gospel, trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside of you, and the Bible says that he will abide with you forever. He will never leave you. Turn just a page over to John chapter 16. We'll begin reading in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So he will glorify the Son. If he is dwelling inside of you, he will motivate you and give you a will and to do of his good pleasure and live for the glory of the Son. It says that he will reprove the world. So he will also reprove you whenever he takes up residence. He will convict you of sin whenever you commit it. He will convict you, and he will give you that desire to live a separated and holy life. He also leads us into battle. Go to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to try to keep it moving from left to right on these points. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. For as many, or better yet, let's begin at 13. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And a lot of people will quote this verse, verse 14, and say, I believe the Lord's leading me to marry this person. I believe the Lord's leading me to take this job. But in the context of this verse, that's not what it's talking about. The previous verse, verse 13, was talking about living after the flesh, battling with the flesh. And it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. This is talking about spiritual warfare. He's leading us into battle with our old self, with our old man. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. Bondage of what? Bondage of the old man. Bondage of sin. For ye have received not the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons, the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So he leads us to battle against the flesh and gives us a father-son relationship with God. And it mentions a witness here, the witness of the Spirit. 1 John talks about this. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. It talks more about the witness of the Holy Spirit. How do you know he's present with you? 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God, that is God the Holy Spirit, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So the witness of the Spirit gives us that confession that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe him. I believe his testimony. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and he rose from the grave. And to have that belief is to have the witness of the Spirit within you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Just maybe the next page over. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you enjoy being obedient. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the Holy Spirit gives us the desire to will and to do of his good pleasure, to be obedient, And he gives us the faith that overcomes the world. Who is he that overcometh the world? Verse 5. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That is the Trinity. So the Holy Spirit gives us the faith that overcomes the world, gives us the desire to be obedient. And why is this significant? Because there is joy in obedience. And there's joy in obedience because we see the work of God in our lives by obedience. We feel convicted to do something right. And the reason why we feel that way is because the Holy Spirit's convicting us. He's trying to move us into that direction. He gives us that hunger for holiness that we used to not have back whenever we were lost, wandering lost into this world. And whenever we believed on the Son of God, he gave us that Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit says, "Now, son, move on and be sanctified. Glorify the Son in your life." Which takes me to my next point. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights of the world." My next point is there's joy in obedience because his light shines in our lives. His light shines in our life. There's joy in obedience. The Lord calls himself the light of the world. Let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. The Lord calls himself the light of the world. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Notice that he says, "He that followeth me shall not." This is a definite statement. "Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have," that is to possess, "the light of life." That's the reason why 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Ye are all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." So he gave us that light. He gave us that light that shines into this dark and perverse nation. And let me tell you, the world is going to throw their stones at you. They're going to try to criticize you. They're going to try to discourage you. They're going to try to put you down because there's something different about us. You get saved and you start living for God. You've been saved for some time and you start walking that straight and narrow way. You're in a good habit of confessing your sins. You're walking in the Word daily. You're reading His Word daily. You're praying more than once a day. You're going to His house three times a week. You're being faithful to His church. And then, you took a stumble. And then somebody's going to say, "See there? See there? I thought you was a Christian." That's what the world will do. They'll say, "See there? I thought you was a Christian. See, all y'all are a bunch of hypocrites. All y'all are a bunch of simpletons." But the reason why they do that is because they want you to turn the light off. They want to discourage you because your attitude towards God convicts them and it makes them uncomfortable. "Hey, if you want to dig some dirt up on me, you'll find it. There's plenty of room in the sandbox for everybody. You can dig dirt up on me and you'll find it. But you ain't going to find nothing wrong with my Savior." But whenever you shine your light into their life, it makes them uncomfortable. If you spend a long time in a dark room, Your eyes get adjusted to it. You get used to the darkness. And the most annoying thing in the whole wide world is for someone to flip a light on. It hurts. They don't like it. They can't stand it. You ever try to wake your kids up in the morning and it's dark in their room and you flip that light on? They want you to turn that light off. Well, that's what the world does. They don't like it. And it makes them uncomfortable. And they don't want nothing more than for you to turn the light off. John chapter 3. Just turn back a couple pages. John chapter 3. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Watch this next verse. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So they like being in the dark. And you shine that light into their life, and they want you to quit it. But don't let that discourage you. Don't let their comments discourage you. Because it may make the difference in maybe one person's life. And if it makes a difference in one person's life, that makes all the difference in the world. Amen. And the Lord gives us hope in this. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men. Watch this. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So there are people out there that will see the light that we shine, and it will convict them, and they'll get saved and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So don't let the discouraging comments get you down. Don't let them turn your light off, because that may make the difference to one person. And if it makes the difference to one person, so what the other people think? So what they think? My next point is that there's joy in obedience, because our obedience offers truth. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He wants us to witness to people, to offer the truth, because his work would not be in vain in that case. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Notice that word in verse 16, holding forth. What does that mean? He's holding it out, offering it to somebody. Holding forth the word of life. You're offering the word of life to somebody. And that's offering it to whosoever. We want to offer that to whosoever. And that's how the Philippian church was evangelized. You realize that if Paul had not been obedient, the Philippian church, the church that he's writing to, would never have been evangelized. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 16. Verse 6, Acts chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So they were heading towards Asia. But the Holy Spirit said, no, I need you to go somewhere else. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas. That's modern day Troy. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go to Macedonia. So he was obedient. Assuredly, gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city, that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, and there prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So his obedience, he didn't go into Asia. He didn't go into Bithynia. He went to Macedonia. And that made all the difference in a lady named Lydia's life. It made all the difference with her family. It says that she was baptized with all her straightway. So her family, her whole household got saved as a result of their obedience. What about the prisoners? Paul got arrested while he was in Philippi. Go to verse 24, same chapter. Who having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Notice their cheerful attitude. They got joy in their life. They're thrown in jail and they're praying and singing praises to God. They have a good attitude despite of their situation. And it says, and the prisoners heard them. They're being the light of the world, and these prisoners see that. And it made all the difference in their life. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. So Paul's obedience made all the difference in the world to some prisoners. His obedience made all the world of difference to that jailer. It made a difference in the jailer's family. A lady named Lydia, it changed her course too and her family. What if Paul had been hard-headed and said, I'm going to Asia? What if he had said, well, I'm going to Bithynia? Would those people have been saved? No. As a church, we're commanded to give the Great Commission. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. This is not a suggestion, folks. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And I got to say amen to that. Amen. What if we lose focus and don't do this? There's people out there who would miss out on a blessing, miss out on the gospel, and one day they'll go to hell. I don't want to stand before God with blood on my hands. I don't know about you, but I don't want no blood on my hands. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven whenever I die, but I don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and lack a crown to lay at His feet because I had blood on my hands. Let me ask you a question. Who's missing out on the gospel because you are set in your ways? Who's missing out on the gospel because we're set in our ways? There's joy in obedience because we see God working in our lives. There's joy in obedience because light shines through obedience. There's joy in obedience because it offers truth. We don't want anybody to miss out on the truth that we have. There's joy in obedience. And there are children, there's teenagers out there that are living in debauchery, living in sin, whenever they could be serious about their faith and be witnessing to people their age. Before I got saved, I grew up, whenever I was a teenager, before I got saved, I lived a life of debauchery. I lived for pleasure. I was out partying and being stupid. And guess what? I look back as a saved man and say, I can never get those years back. They say, well, those years were fun. Well, that fun comes with a price. And that price is your joy. You mean you can have fun and not have joy? Yes. You can't have joy and live a life of sin at the same time. There's a difference between joy and fun. Fun is self-satisfying. Fun fulfills your own lust, but it don't make a difference to anybody. You can have all the fun in your life and you can be miserable. I was. But God shined His light into my heart and brought me down to a place where I couldn't have anything else but Him. I sat down on my bed and I cried unto Him and I asked Him to save me whenever I was 23 years old. And I ain't never been the same since. And He gave me a desire to be obedient. But yet there's Christians. One thing that blew my mind, teaching teenagers, they're saved, but they're not being obedient. And it breaks my heart. I looked at a group of teenagers one time and I said, I would cut my arm off to have what you have. To be where you are at your age. And you're wasting it. Who's going to hell because of us? We need to be obedient. Because there's joy in obedience. Notice in Psalm 51, to my point, Psalm 51, in David's prayer. Psalm 51, verse 12. David had sinned He had laid with Bathsheba and killed Uriah. And he's praying and asking for forgiveness. What does he say in verse 12? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. He lost his joy. He had his fun, but he lost his joy. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Watch it. Watch this next verse. Then will I teach the transgressors thy ways, and the sinners shall be converted unto thee. I would dare say, based on this, you can't win anybody to the Lord if you're wallowing in sin. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I've given them the word. I don't have any blood on my hands today. But Lord, I pray that nobody leaves here with blood on their hands. If there's somebody here that knows they need to witness to somebody, that knows that they need to pray for somebody, I pray that you just move them to get the boldness to witness to somebody, to make a difference in somebody's life, and not miss out on the joy of obedience. Lord, if there's something here that I need to lay down before you, I lay it down, Lord. I confess all my sins to you, Lord, because I don't want to be seen as a hypocrite. Lord, I just pray that you bless the message and those who receive it. Every head bowed and all eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart, I don't know your heart, but if God spoke to your heart, I pray that you mind the Lord. You be obedient. If you need to come for salvation, I will be happy to open a Bible up to you and give you the gospel. If you're here and you know that you need a witness to somebody, I encourage you to do that, because it'll make a difference in your life as well as theirs. Why don't you come and move as the Lord leads? Father, I pray that you've been glorified today. I pray that you've been glorified today. You've moved in this service, and I thank you for it. Help us to leave here to serve you, to give the gospel to whosoever. Help us to be faithful and not miss out on the joy of obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.